Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Venerable religious and dear parishioners, I would like to be historical in today's sermon. And I want to take you back to 11 years ago on this exact day here at the Mount. 11 years ago, it was August 24th, Feast of St. Bartholomew, and even the commemoration was of the 11th Sunday after Pentecost, exactly as today. And after Mass, we kicked off our centennial celebration. Now, the centennial itself was in 2015 because Mount St. Michael was being built in 2015. That's where the bulk of all the work was done. However, the Jesuits broke ground on August 24th of 1914. So that was also the day of the parish picnic, and those that were there remember how, among our enjoyment of the picnic that day, we released 100 helium balloons into the sky. And there was a note attached to each balloon saying, if you find this, please let us know, and it's probably a little reward of some kind. And we actually did this again, the 100 balloons, on the Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes in 2015. Because it was the 100th day of school, and also Our Lady of Lourdes is the patroness of the Diocese of Spokane. So, and I think we got one response from that second set of 100 balloons that we released into the sky. So anyway, we basically have a carbon copy of what we did 11 years ago, except no balloons will be released in the sky today. And it was at the parish picnic. It was usually have it at this time of the year. And by the way, going back to 1914, sad to say, that was basically on the eve of World War I. And Pope St. Pius X also died. I believe he had just died or was soon dying after that. He's the same pope that established the Diocese of Spokane. And many commented that he died of a broken heart because he saw Europe about to explode in this inferno of war. And he just, you know, was so sad about that. So anyway, I'm giving you this history because history is very important. And what's our Catholic faith but a study in the history of the last 20 centuries? And what we were celebrating in 2015 was the 100th anniversary of this building being constructed. Constructed as an edifice of education. And it wasn't the complete training for Jesuit seminarians, but it was the 3 years of study of philosophy and the natural sciences. And then after they did that, they would go elsewhere for teacher training, and then finally they would go to another institute for their theological training. But here at Mount St. Michael was the scholasticate. And this building was built for education. Unfortunately, and this I attribute to the disaster of Vatican II, Instead of it being a renewal for the church, we began to see an enormous loss of faith, tradition, and yes, even Catholic morality. And it happened to the Jesuits. When Mount St. Michael was built in 1915, the Jesuits already knew they were going to be bursting at the seams. They already knew they were going to have to add on the extension, which came about 15 years later. However, what happened after Vatican II? Was there an explosion of vocations? Was there a growth in fervor? No. The decay that had already set in before Vatican II became more and more pronounced. And within 5 years after Vatican II ended, the Jesuits officially stopped using Mount St. Michael as a seminary. Whatever scholastics were here, they took them down to attend classes at Gonzaga, which made no sense for the formation of young religious seminarians. Now they were going to be in a coeducational institute. What sense did that make? And there are no scholastics left here at all. So from 1970, the Jesuits began to downsize and downscale. And they were looking to sell. And their loss was our gain. So 1977, right at the end of the year, the mount was purchased, and we had to make our annual payment of $121,000 a year, but God provided, and we were able to burn the mortgage earlier than scheduled. And so we continue to celebrate history because this was important. This was a spiritually vibrant place, a place of spiritual growth, of education. And education is going to be the main idea that I wanted to talk to you today about. But as I said, the spiritual decline was already happening. And I have read many a story about what was going on here at Mount St. Michael before Vatican II. I've spoken to at least a couple of those who resided here, or maybe more. And it was not all rosy. It would tell stories of spiritually slipping. And that's a reminder to us always, that it's the neglect of the little things, it's always the sure road to complacency. We all run that danger. And it always starts with neglecting the little things, cutting corners spiritually. We read in today's gospel how our Lord chose even Judas, and he was God. He knew that Judas was going to fail, was going to betray him. It wasn't our Lord's fault. He gave Judas the chance. But how did it happen? Again, because Judas began to fail in the little things, and then he began to fail in the greater things. And then finally he failed in the greatest way of all. So you see how important it is to keep up our daily fervor and not neglect the little things. So what is Mount St. Michael today? It's still an institute of education. What is it that you hear over and over again? In sermons, in other quotations or exhortations to spiritual reading. That's education. Today's feast of St. Bartholomew reminds us how our Lord established the church and, among other things, well, maybe we should put it this way, he established his church to teach, to rule, and to sanctify. He established it to educate. He told the apostles before he ascended into heaven, go and teach all nations. And that is what the Catholic Church will do till the end of time. It will teach, it will educate. So every parish, every church is a spiritual educational institute. We have St. Michael's Academy here. It is an institute of learning. We're starting to get ready for the new school year. The convent is a place for spiritual formation of young religious women, and of course it continues to exist for the sanctification of religious women after that, after they've been formed. But I take this opportunity to remind you again of parents having the primary right and duty of education of your children. This is a very sobering thought, but whether your children save their souls or not will be in great part, very great part, as to how you educate them, how you train them in godly ways. And as long as we're in this life, again, we run the risk of losing our souls. The danger of complacency is always there. But parents, as you know, you're blessed with the children, and it takes some 20 years to educate them, to train them in ways that, well, it won't guarantee their salvation. There's no guarantee. But to give them as much of a spiritual chance as possible to do well. And so you don't want to just train them, as you well know, not to just get by, but aim high. Aim for the stars. You know, it's like shooting an arrow. If you shoot level, that arrow will drop very soon. You have to aim high. The greater the distance, the more the arc has to be there. So this is why it makes sense to talk about striving for holiness, because that will give them a better chance, better, well, I guess chance is the word to use, a better possibility of saving their souls. I just heard it from a man in the last couple of weeks, traditional Catholic man, and I'm sure I'm not saying his words exactly, but the gist of it was, I thought, very good. He had told all of his children, by the grace of God, every one of them is a practicing traditional Catholic. But he told them, you know, you run the danger when I'm finished raising you, your mother and I, you run the risk of going astray. But I don't want it to be for any lack of instruction that I gave in telling you what you needed to do. I want to be sure that I fulfilled my parental, my fatherly duty. And so by the grace of God, his family, as I said, all practicing traditional Catholics, but a great way to put it. So another quick list that I think is very helpful are the four duties that parents have of education. Number one, instruction. And yes, you're going to sound like a broken record at times. You're going to hear it over and over again. Mom, Dad, you've said that so many times. Yes, but repetition is necessary sometimes. I'm not saying for the sake of sheer nagging. No, but good repetition is needed. Vigilance. This is why you have to protect your children from the internet. Protect them from television, movies, so much evil, so many occasions of sin make themselves present. I understood later on why my parents were protective of me. I wasn't allowed to go wander the neighborhoods and just get into trouble. My parents were watchful over who my companions were. I didn't understand it at the time. I felt very constricted. But it was vigilance at work. Correction. And correction is another word for discipline. But it must be done out of love. Not just out of sheer frustration. And then good example, the power of good example. Actions speak louder than words. So instruction, vigilance, correction, good example. These are the great duties. They're not easy to do consistently and perseveringly. And you have to get on your knees over and over again as parents for the help that is needed to do these functions well. Educating your children for eternal life. And as I said, we're beginning the school year. And I remind you, the school does not have the primary duty of education. The parents will always have that. That's the very law of God, the law of nature. However, we certainly, as a school, reinforce and supplement the education that you're doing in the home. We realize it's a sacred trust that we have as school faculty. And overall, it's also a participating in the mission of the church to go and teach all nations. I recommend that you all read Pope Pius XI's encyclical on education. He wrote it in 1929. It is so good in explaining how the church must educate. And this is why the church will always have Catholic schools, because it's part of the mission of the church. But he also emphasizes parents have the primary duty. That's God's own law. And parents must not sacrifice that. Must not abandon it. I remember many years ago when I was a young teacher, a parent told me, I'm sending my child to school so he gets religion and discipline. And, you know, I understood that at the time, but later on I was thinking, I hope by that he's not meaning that he's neglecting teaching religion or disciplining in the home. He has the primary duty of that. And he cannot just say, well, let the school do the religious instruction. Let the school do the disciplining. And I'm sure he didn't quite mean it that way. You know, I don't think he was neglecting it entirely, but it is an opportunity to remember who has the primary duty. So, on this feast of St. Bartholomew, part of the chosen group of apostles were sent forth to teach, to sanctify, and to rule. Remember, they were sent forth to educate. And we've reviewed the various forms of education. And what a sacred duty, what a wonderful opportunity to to lead, to instruct, to share these wonderful things that are so needed and helpful for fulfillment of one's purpose in life, not just to get a great job if they're, you know, if they're called to, you know, to be in the lay state, or not just to be well at their duties as fathers and mothers and raising children in the home, but again, the spiritual component is the most important one of all. How do you know that you succeeded as a parent? I was just thinking of a kind of a little thing that happens. And I think that that tells that success is happening. And I've heard people say, this is now adults, I sound just like my parents do. The same words that my parents told me, which I didn't really appreciate when I was younger, they're coming out of my mouth now. And sure, my children might not always appreciate them, but if down the road they're saying the same things that I'm telling them now, then thank God, by the grace of God, there is some success that is happening, hopefully a significant amount. So let us pray for all of our educators. Pray for the clergy. It is their duty to educate and spiritual life and faith and morals. Pray for parents who have this primary duty from God. Pray for all teachers so that they can, in their roles, share and teach and instruct. And remember, in one way or another, we're all teachers. We all get to teach throughout our lives in one way or another. It won't necessarily be in the classroom, but we're always going to teach. And remember, good example is the way that every single one of us can teach. So let's pray for all teachers, and therefore we'll be praying for all of us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.